You are listening to Been There, Done That. We present some of the smartest people connected to the business of coffee. People who've succeeded in the tough grind of hospitality by staying ahead of the rest. So join us as we explore the secrets to their success and help you accelerate your business. This show is brought to you by the Coffee Commune, where the coffee community comes to collaborate. Enjoy the show.
Greetings, everybody. This is Phil DiBella, and we bring you another segment of Been There and Done That, where we go out to experts in the industry that have exactly that, been there and done that, and share their knowledge, wisdom, and what problems they solve, what makes them relevant, and how they can help you accelerate your potential in your business. So, Daniel, a big welcome to the show. Obviously, we've got Tyro with us today. I'm going to go straight into it. Daniel, tell us about yourself and Tyro, and we'll go from there.
Thanks very much, Phil. Yeah, so I'm really happy to be partnership lead at Tyro, which means I get to work with a range of different companies or software. We go, let's find the right partners that deliver really good value for our customers.
Yeah. And in short, people ask me what the secret sauce to business is, or, you know, what's the magic bullet or whatever bullshit's trending at the time. But I talk about it very simple, which I want to go through with you. Step one, what problem does Tyro solve better than your competitors?
Tyro has created an ecosystem for software that really means that the systems that are so important to running a cafe or running a restaurant are seamlessly connected to payments. So the point of sale system, whether it's an abacus or whatever the system is that the cafe is using, that's so critical to them taking their business forward, being able to track what's happened, who's buying what, the amount that's spent, really simple for them. That's so essential to what Tyro does. What we've done really well to be able to grow in the last 20 odd years has been just to work so well with these partners so that the cafes get a great experience.
So you get that A to Z flow rate, right? I mean, it makes it seamless. And I do know that a lot of the systems out there, some of them are really good in certain areas, but they don't necessarily tick all the boxes.
Yeah. And what we're noticing more and more, Phil, is that businesses want things simple, and they just want to be able to have one thing that works where there's not a bunch of systems that don't connect that require third parties. They just want to go to one place for an answer. And quite often that's that point of sale company. And so we go, if we can empower that point of sale to give them a really good experience, then we know it's going to go great for our customers as well.
Yeah, you've hit it on the head, Daniel. I mean, we've released a small business paper that we did. Over 9,000 different bits of data was analyzed last year. And most people think that red tape is the number one problem, and it's certainly not. What the findings of that data showed us is the number one problem is actually operating skills, operating knowledge, the ability for people to know how to operate. Reasons why, obviously, the coffee commune exists. But it's also one of the key elements of what you just described there with Tyro, is that you make things seamless and easy at a time where a lot of people don't know what they should be choosing and how they should be choosing it. Tyro makes things simple from A to Z and enables people to have a seamless approach to obviously everything to do with their payments and all the rest of it, right?
That's what we want to see. It's sort of looking at innovations and then things that aren't new, like customer service. I mean, we don't have the experience of giving someone their morning coffee, but if we can make that experience better, that's what we want to do. Things like 24/7 customer support, it really does still matter. Mm-hmm. And providing that Australian experience on shore is really important to us as a company. And it's sort of part of our vision of being customer obsessed. I mean, every cafe that I go to, they are obsessed with my business. They want to know that I like a piccolo. And we should be doing the same as a payments company. And that's something that we really pride ourselves on.
I love it. So you've answered the first question about problems. The second one I always ask people, we know when they say, what's the secret sauce is, what are the key features of Tyro that makes you more relevant than anybody else?
Yeah, it comes back to that customer obsession, which I keep harping on about. And it's just effectively being what our customers need, whether it's from a solution standpoint with something like integration to their partners and their point of sale. If you don't want to manage your card payment fees and you want to pass that in, that's perfectly fine. Let's give you the flexibility to do that or not. It's up to you. Run your business your way.
Yeah, well, you guys have been at the forefront of introducing, you know, cutting-edge solutions like Tap to Pay on iPhone and Tyro Go. And can you talk us through the inspiration behind these innovations and the impact they're having on the payment experience?
Yeah, it's solutions like this that make me really proud to work at Tyro. When we were launching Tap to Pay on iPhone, it wasn't a public story that we were telling everyone. It was very much launched and then the market heard and the employees heard. So there were code names involved. People were running around talking about Barrington, whatever that is. And that was apparently the famous word we had for Apple. But all of that sort of secrecy was being so essential to us in being able to offer this solution first to market that effectively says to a small business, I am do away with a clunky machine that sits on the table.
Yeah, I love it. And that's what builds your relevance. Now, the last one I always say to people is once you've got your problem solved and you've got systems, processes and services and products that make you more relevant than anybody else, then you need to tell the story, marketing, to tell the story better than anybody else. Tell us, how does Tyrest spread the word out there and market what they do?
What we want to be is ambassadors as employees of the company that really do believe in that vision to provide a great solution for Australian business where we're customer obsessed and where we want to be driving value to every customer that we work with. And so to do that, we start internally. We have events so that employees know some of the different things that we're doing and get to learn more about the business. But then looking externally, it's working with really great creative agencies. I really enjoyed listening to the last podcast that I heard from you on the art of customer loyalty, and working with experts like that who can give us a vision and give us ideas about what's going to work is really essential to what we do. So that when you see the TV campaign that we do or the ads on Spotify, you all of a sudden know, oh, there's not just someone in Tyro had a quick idea and knocked it up. There's been a whole lot of strategy that sits behind this.
Yeah, I love it. And obviously your biggest advocates are your customers that use it. I noticed people are very proud of Tyro. The people that use Tyro are very proud. And I always say that's the best way to build your business is from third-party endorsement, from people that are actually using it and understand it. Tell me, what are you doing to reward the customers that spread the love? Is there anything in place?
From time to time, we run member get member campaigns, which we absolutely love. And the idea there is to say, introduce us to someone you think that would like Tyro, and we're more than happy to give you sort of bonus for that. But outside of that, our biggest opportunity to win new business is, as you said, Phil, referrals and partners. And it's people that are the voice in the market saying, hey, we actually think that Tyro is a great solution. It's going to be really easy for you to run your business if you're using Tyro. Why don't you go and have a chat with them? And so that's so important to us as a company. Even more than marketing is just having that referral and partnership model in place.
Well, I always say marketing is all about the art of telling a story so compelling that people choose you. And the key to that is emotional engagement, because if they emotionally engage with you and your brand, then they will choose you. Let's talk about challenges. I want to break it into two, because you guys are a great barometer and collect a lot of data out there in the cafe industry. There's 26,600 plus cafes in Australia, which is utterly ridiculous. I'm very vocal about it. There's a segment going to air on ABC Today Radio talking about what is that and what the magic number should be. Cafes were firing at 2018, 2019, had 19,000 cafes across Australia. Fast forward post the pandemic, 2020, the end of it, we're sitting at over 26,600 and not sustainable because the supply of cafes has increased, but the demand has not grown in line with it. So a lot of people struggling. Tell us, you guys see a lot of data. What are the challenges out there for cafe owners right now?
Yeah, look, you hit the nail on the head. There's a really crowded market. And so being able to differentiate what you do that's so special that isn't something that the next cafe owner is doing is really difficult. Creating that voice and that genuine relationship with customers, I think, is a really challenging one for small businesses. But outside of that, it's a fast-moving society, and Australian consumers are really quick to adopt the latest technology. And so for a lot of these cafes, it's being able to stay up to date with what they do when they hand that cup of coffee over. And so that's where it's important for these small businesses to leverage information sources that are out there that can help them know what is industry trends and what's going on in the market.
Now, are you seeing any of the data? Do you guys get to see the average spend of cafes dropping, increasing, average spend per head? Do you get to see any of that data with the Tyro systems?
So I haven't seen anything specifically in the last couple of months, but generally there'll be a bit of an update whenever we do investor updates. We're a publicly traded company, and with that, there's a whole lot of information that we share to the market. And so there's a consistent trend that we see that fits in with what you've said around the number of new cafes that we're signing up. And then with that, the volume that's going through, it's more than ever before. And I saw some data in the Sydney Morning Herald quite recently that sort of backed that up as well, where we're seeing a huge share of wallet is going towards people wanting to spend in restaurants and cafes. So definitely that fits in with what you're saying, Phil.
Yeah, and that's what we're seeing. I mean, you know, we're in over 850, 900 venues that we supply coffee to roasters who roasters then supply the cafes. And I can tell you that average spends that, say, per transaction this time last year was sitting at 1950, you're down to about 1430. And that's a significant drop. Yet the rent's the same, the wages are the same, if not increased. Everything else has gone up at the same time and people are doing it tough, which brings me on to the next challenge. Talk me through the fees for Tyro and what that looks like.
Whenever someone comes to Tyro or one of our competitors, there's a cost for card acceptance, which is effectively whether it's Visa, MasterCard, or the components that's paid out to the person who issues the card. There's these different components that make up the overall cost. And so from that, you're going to find what it's costing one of the big banks versus one of the small providers. It's probably not radically different. But what is different is the actual costs that allow them as a company to keep operating. And so what Tyro has been really passionate about from an early stage is providing the ability for as much control as possible to be in the hands of our customers. And so what that looks like is giving them the option to pass on the cost of card acceptance or not, and then being as competitive as we can in the way that we provide extra value through things like integrations and 24/7 support. And really just trying to meet them at every opportunity that we can and give them the tools to take control of how they're running their business and taking payments.
Give us a snapshot. What do the numbers look like? How many venues across Australia is Tyro in now?
So Tyro is at nearly 70,000 venues across Australia at the moment, which makes us the largest provider of FPOS outside of the big four banks, which is a really big milestone. And we're very proud that in our 21-year history, we've been able to reach that point.
Trends in the industry. What's trending? Microbreweries, you know, chicken rotisseries. What are you seeing? What's some? Because you guys don't just do cafes; you do all sorts of venues. What's trending?
Bubble teas everywhere. So the traditional cafe.
Sugar-loaded bloody bubble tea.
Yeah, like brands like Char Time and Gong Cha are doing some really amazing things. And you know, credit to them. But I think the backbone of every Sydney and Brisbane and Melbourne office scene is the local cafe, and so we're still seeing huge growth in that space. The 26,000 odd that you cited as the number of cafes in Australia, wow, huge numbers, and really proud to be in thousands, tens of thousands of them, hopefully.
Yeah. Now, at the commune, we're tackling some of the stuff where, obviously, we don't take any government money. We're not government funded. We don't have government contracts, which gives us total autonomy and allows us to tackle some of the difficult stuff without being convoluted. And we often go out to our members, and to give you a snapshot, over a quarter of all Brisbane cafes are now part of our membership at the Coffee Commune, which we're very proud of in 3 short years. So we get a very good barometer of data and information. And what we do is go out to them and ask them, you know, what are the things from a government perspective that are causing problems? And then we break it down to local, state, and federal. It's not a bitch session. It's not a dump on government session. It's tell us the things that are really impacting your business so that we can collect it, see what's trending, and then break it down and see how we can help. One of them is the following, and that is that people get the concept of being charged to use credit card funds because it's not your money. But one of the things we're going to be tackling in the next 12 months at the Coffee Commune, based on the feedback from businesses, is why are we getting charged at the terminal for using our own money when banks are charging us a monthly account fee? I'd love your perspective on that one.
When someone's using an FPOS card?
A debit card. An FPOS, a debit card, their own money, a check, you know, so a debit card. The money's theirs. Yeah. It's in their bank account. They get charged to use that, but they're also getting charged an account fee from the bank.
Yeah, look, it's one of these things where payments is so complicated, and it's been a work of 10 years for me to learn even part of this. And apologies to my colleagues if I butcher this explanation, but what goes into it? So there's a lot of people that are privy to any transaction. There's the issuing bank, and that's, let's say you've got a card that's an ING card, that big orange one. That's the issuing bank. On that will be a Visa logo because it's Visa that are involved in the transaction. You're then tapping, let's say, a Tyro terminal, and then Tyro's involved in that conversation as well. And so effectively, the cost for ING and Tyro and the relationship we form there is such that there is still a cost, even if it is their own money. to the different parties. That's, as you called out rightly, Phil, a lower cost than a premium American Express card or a premium Visa card that's with another provider potentially, but there is still some cost involved. And so with that, there is a cost that's passed on. What I think we try to do at Tyro is provide different pricing models so that people can, being the customer, can choose what makes the most sense for them, whether it's just passing on the cost and then a margin that allows us to run our business, or one simple rate so they know, cool, my rate is 1.2% or whatever it might be, and then that's all they need to know. It's about giving the market, I think, the right number of options and then hoping that they can get the best option for them by explaining to them how it works and letting them make an educated decision.
Yeah, well, Daniel, you have done a good job in explaining it because that makes sense. Obviously, it's not just the fact that it's your own money. There's a service provider that needs to be paid for the terminal and the system, and I get that. And it's good that it's a lower rate. I think it'd be criminal if it wasn't because it is somebody's money. So the bank should be probably taking the cop there, but yet the terminal, like in this case, Tyro, needs to be paid, which alludes to another one. Then what's your thoughts on venues that are now saying we won't accept cash?
Yeah, look, it's a really interesting trend, and I think it's just about what matters to us as consumers. I first saw this about 8 years ago in Europe, and it was a novelty. I took a photo of it and posted it on LinkedIn, and then now I'm seeing it all over the place. And what I think is important is the RBA rule, which is that there needs to be one option where you don't get surcharged. And so if a cafe decides to not accept cash but to say card only, and then they're not passing on any surcharge, I think that's great. Power to them. But as long as there are adhering to that RBA rule where they need to provide one option with no surcharging, then I'm really happy with the trend personally. I've got a bit of cash in my wallet, but I'm much more likely to pull out a card.
Yeah, look, and again, you've explained that well because most people, most listeners wouldn't know that the RBA, so let's talk about that. Let's unpack it. The RBA has passed a rule that if you don't want to, if you will not accept cash, then you must have a option of, you know, somebody using their card without any fee. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's right. So there's got to be an option that a venue has, a genuine option. They can't say you must pay by check if you want to avoid a surcharge because that's ludicrous. No one of any significant volume is paying the checks anymore. Correct. But there needs to be an option. And so whether that's cash, is there's no cost for cash acceptance, or whether it's FPOS, or whether it's all card types, there's got to be some option that every venue offers where you're not going to pay a surcharge.
Yeah, and listeners, you really need to be across that, both if as a customer that goes into a cafe, but also as an operator. You have to give the customer an option where there is no fee involved if you're not going, of an alternative payment system if you're not going to collect cash.
It's a really good one, that, because it just means that the customers are always going to have a choice. And if they say, I want to pay by card and it's costing the cafe 1% or 2%, it's very reasonable for the cafe to say, look, that's fine, but if you want to pay that way, I'm going to have to pass on this cost because that's the cost to me. It's about giving that option to the cafe, but then equally, it's great to have that option for the end customer to be able to come in and say, and buy their coffee without getting any surcharge.
And it's one of those arguments that has split the group, and there'll be listeners here going, I don't agree, you should be able to accept it. And there'll be others that say, no, hey, it makes sense. But I mean, my personal view is very simple, and I'm never short of sharing my personal view, is that it's legal currency. And if it's legal currency, you should be accepting it, full stop. That is what it is. It's legal currency. And if I want to pay a bill with it, or I want to pay a restaurant or a cafe or whatever it is with legal currency that the government says is legal, then you have no right to tell me it's illegal because it's against the Constitution. So that's my personal view and opinion. Mm. There'll be some people that differ with me.
It's an interesting one, Phil, because there shouldn't be people dictating how you pay. But equally, if a cafe says, look, it's fine, we don't want your business if you're going to pay by cash,
you go somewhere else.
Yeah, you go somewhere else. And I think 90% of people or 95% of people are probably going to be totally fine with it. And then they'll lose 5 or 10% of customers. So that's a business decision they have to make around the costs of carrying cash and losing your business potentially. And that's up to every business.
Yeah, and well explained, because again, what we found in that study is the number one problem right now that most people are not aware of, and I'll frame it this way. I've been in business for 22 years of my own business, but I've been in the industry 34 years. So I've seen three major times where it's been difficult. This is, of course, the most difficult time I've ever seen for people in business, because it's the first time in history that I've seen everything go up at the same time. Everything. Nothing's immune. The last time was GFC. on the back of the GFC, we saw difficult times. So GFC was 2008, 2009. It didn't hit impact Australia till around 2010, 2011. Most people, and this is an interesting stat, people that are operating a business right now, especially in hospitality, weren't around operating a business in 2010. So they actually have never experienced difficult times. So they don't know what skills they need, or they haven't been exposed to building the resilience and the skills to cope with something that we're coping with right now, which is everything has gone up and times are tough. But the particular data that came out of it, Daniel, is prior to COVID, because of the so much disposable income, you know, interest rates were low, money was cheap, everything was thriving, things were moving beautifully. There was so much disposable income around that cafes, restaurants were booming. Look at it now with interest rates, and to me, 6% is not high, but they're three times the price of 2%, right? So those that got in at 2% are now paying 6%. Their disposable income has diminished. And of course, the money that they have available to spend in a cafe or restaurant has also diminished. And where I'm going to with this is the skill set, the strategy right now is not about trying to sell more to the same customer base. It's about trying to attract more customers to your door. So if we sit on that for a moment, the strategy right now for all cafes and restaurants is to bring more customers through your door because the average spend is less. Because if you don't bring more customers through your door, your revenue is going to decline. So what does that all mean when we talk about this? Now's not a time to not accepting cash and losing 5% of your client base from my professional perspective. Your thoughts, Daniel?
Look, it's a really interesting one. And I think at the moment, the cash-free environment is limited. There's a couple out there that I think it works very well for. But my personal opinion is that for most businesses, it makes sense to take cash as well as to take card payments. You really need to be in a position where you're doing both to maximize your chances. However, there are a small number of businesses who strategically, for whatever reason, go card only. And my take is that power to them if it works. If they're in an airport and everyone's using a card, okay, that works. But you've got to work out what's valuable to your customers, and you want to just love your customers and you want to be obsessed with them and do what makes sense for them. And if your customer type wants to pay by cash, then you've got to support that. However, you know your customers better than I do, and that's really what you've got to keep in mind when you're making these decisions.
Great advice. Great advice, Daniel. And I love the fact that you guys are so customer-centric because unfortunately, I say to people now, the opportunity to shine lies in that because there's so many people that don't give a shit about their customer. Whilst that's a negative, that's a positive for those that do because it's harder to shine when everyone's great. But I tell you what, when so many people aren't customer focused and you've got organizations that are customer focused, then they're the ones you've got to support and lean on, the ones that really back their customers, that care about being, you know, their customers being better tomorrow than today. So kudos to you guys and the team at Tyro.
Well, and likewise to the team at Coffee Commune, some of the things that you're doing are changing the game. I've seen that when I've been walking around Brisbane, the cafes that are getting behind you and what you're doing, and it's very valuable. So appreciate the work you're doing.
Yeah, no, thank you. I always said if I was coming back into business after exiting 2017, we're not setting up a coffee brand, that's for sure. Been there and done that. We want to do something, and that is to help the industry drive forward at a time that's needed. And COVID just sped that concept up, of course. But I want to leave on this one. What do you think the future of payments looks like if we fast forward 5-10 years from now? People are going to have chips in their bloody hand and wrist and... What do you see? I mean, you know, who would have thought 20 years ago that we'd be flashing our mobile phone in front of something and it'd be a pay wave? Like, who would have thought that 20 years ago? I mean, 20 years ago, I was flat out using an iPhone because it was too big. You know, what does the future look like in payments?
I love this question, and I'll tackle it in two parts. I think the next 2 years, what's extremely exciting is doing away with the FPOS machine and embedding those payments into the point of sale. That's something that Tyro is already doing, and we've got partners that are very close to going live with this. So we're super excited about that solution. But to answer your question in the broader sense, where I think we're going in 5, 10 plus years will be your face is your ID. There is no one exactly like Phil DeBella. And so you could potentially be walking into a shop, and if you've opted in and if your payments are attached and everything with a bunch of caveats, you're going to walk out of that shop and you'll be charged for the items you take when you leave the shop.
Phenomenal.
Well, I don't know anything about who's building that, but I've seen some of the stuff out of Amazon and some of the other companies in the US, the innovators, and you go, that is amazing. If in 10, 20 years' time, we're doing away with physical cards and we're making that payments experience that seamless, then definitely we're doing a good job.
You make a great point, you know, and lucky there's probably no one out there that's similar to Phil DeBella. That could be a bad thing on the world. But but the facial recognition stuff is, you think about this, right? I saw, you know, we used to have a beautiful house in Queenstown and I had fingerprint technology for my wine cellar. That was more strategic than anything, so no one could get in there and drink my wine. But if you think about it, that was, you know, that's eight, nine years ago. You had a fingerprint for it to enter, and people do it with their locks at home and all sorts of stuff. You know, so the facial recognition is not a crazy idea, nor is it whether it becomes a fingerprint payment. You know, I think you're onto something, and I think there's probably people out there working on it and have been for a while. But it's exciting, it's scary, but it's exciting. Does that make sense? So it's the future's always exciting, and then it scares you a bit, but then it becomes exciting again.
It does. And with these pieces of technology, nothing happens instantly. It all moves forward incrementally, and we notice these minor improvements, but then over time, they stack up and it makes a really big difference to how we're operating. How many cafes were there in 1960 and how many do we have now? That's a great thing because the customer has spoken and they say, we like these cafes. We see great things happening in the Australian cafe scene. And so more people open up to provide that solution. I think it's the same on the payment side.
Yeah. No, Daniel, you've been awesome. I love the customer focus. I love what Tyro's doing. I love the idea of one day we get rid of the FPOS terminal, and I don't think that's that far away, and I know you guys are leading the way. Congratulations to you, to the team at Tyro for what you do and the support that you give to, especially cafes in Australia, because that's our major audience, but to everybody that uses your system. And thank you for being on our show, being there, done that for the Coffee Commune.
Thanks very much, Phil. It's been a pleasure.
Take care. Talk soon. That's a wrap for today. Keep listening for more episodes of Been There and Done That. The Coffee Commune is here to help accelerate your potential. We want you to be better tomorrow than today. Until next time, you've been listening to Phil DeBella. I'm the founder and managing director of The Coffee Commune, a place where the coffee community comes to collaborate.